Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth Is Out There radio show. Tonight we have a very special show. We're in Pennsylvania tonight, and we're going to be doing a lot of talking about Pennsylvania and the congressional race. But first, let me introduce you to my co-host, Scarlett. How are you doing, Scarlett?
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're excited here as we went into the congressional race in CD1, and we have a very good person that is a true fighter, a young lady. Her name is Caroline Avery, and she is a fighter, and she's running for Congress in CD1. How you doing, Caroline?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Can you tell our listeners, first of all, where in Pennsylvania is CD1?
The first congressional district is comprised of all of Bucks County and a small part of Montgomery County.
And,
so we are just north of Philadelphia, but we're on the Delaware River, and we're in quite a historical, obviously all of Pennsylvania is historical, but we're in a very historical area near Washington Crossing.
And that is very historical in history, but with education these days, I wonder how many people actually know that. Now,
well,
go ahead.
Well, around here we keep it, you know, it's pretty well alive because, you know, it's a beautiful area, and of course all the taverns and up in that area are named after the founding fathers and stuff like that. So, you know, we're trying here. I think we're going to make history again. I don't think this was the last time when they signed the Declaration of Independence. I think we're coming up on a new era.
And with that meaning, explain, first of all, I believe you're a libertarian more than a Republican in nature, but you're also America First candidate. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, I surely am.
And I hear that they're trying to keep you off the ballot. Can you explain to our listeners all that, what's going on with you in the ballot situation?
Well, this was epidemic. This is epidemic and running rampant, especially in any sort of a battleground state. This is the new weapon of choice, is challenging the petitions. So you know how we have to get petitions and we have to get a certain amount of signatures. As a congressional candidate in Pennsylvania, to challenge, you need to get 1,000 signatures from the party that you're running from. So in other words, when I took my petition around, I had to make sure that the people who signed it were registered Republicans living in my district. So,
okay.
In general,
so,
you would want to get double the amount.
Okay.
You would want to get 2,000.
Yeah. So as they say, this way, if they disqualify some, you'll have a lot over, so you don't have to worry about the total.
Right.
Is that correct?
Well, yes, it is. And they did a lot of screwy things because, you know, it's a very important primary and a very important midterm. And so they played a lot of games with the districting and that we were supposed to have petitions on February 15th. And they didn't come out February 15th because of the redistricting. So they made them all of a sudden, I think it was the 25th, late in the evening, they said, okay, here's your petition. So you could download them then. And then they made it so you could only go through the 15th of March. So they took some time away from you. And they, you know, they didn't do you any favors, put it this way. Them are the apples. You know, I'm not the only person that had to, you know, hoof it pretty hard. But we went out and we got our signatures and we worked really hard. I'm very proud of my team and myself because I'm proud of the ways that we handled ourselves and how hard we worked and the integrity. And we had everybody going against us because we are the true American First candidate. We are the true firebrand candidate. And so the GOP did not stand up for me whatsoever, you know. And also we had small groups of Republicans, you know, little groups of Republicans all over the place. And they also didn't stand up for me because it really is a clique. And the shame of it is really there's a lot of really great people, and it is just a few people ruin the whole bunch. Just a few people have all the power. And but I didn't bend a knee, and we got our signatures. Then we got challenged by one of the biggest law firms on the East Coast, the same law firm that took Donald Trump on. And they challenged my petitions on the final day, and they were also in concert with a D.C. law firm. So I had the big boys coming after me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called the people that signed my petition, like I do with everything, and I asked them, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to fight back? Or do you want me just to say, okay, that's enough, you know, we had enough, and we'll get you next time? And they said, Caroline, please, fight back.
So that is the point. Are you on the ballot, or did you pay in?
Well, I'm on the ballot, but, well, this is the irony of how everything worked. It went all the way to the Supreme Middle Court in Pennsylvania. I acted as my own attorney against two of the biggest law firms on the East Coast. And they had to give me back over 100 signatures because they tried to steal them from me, and they were legitimate signatures. But in the end, I came up just short. So the law is the law. And so I have to have respect for that. So I withdrew my candidacy and with the judge's blessing. This way I have no mark on my, on my history. So there's not like, I didn't get removed from the ballot. I withdrew. I respectfully requested to withdraw. So, and the judge honored that. She was very good to me. She, you know, this was a big deal. They sent a lot of people after me. And when I was leaving there, people of high character said to me, "You have my respect, madam," because I fought hard with all these lawyers, and I basically won because it was obvious. I made them show me who was not signature good and who was, and it showed them for who they were. And then I withdrew my candidacy, and the judge ordered this. Each person will pay for their own legal fees. And in your case, madam, that's nothing because I represented myself. They spent tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars. They were not happy.
Was that Brian Kilpatrick that did this?
Well, we don't have proof of stuff, do we? So we don't go running around proving. We don't, and we don't accuse people of things because it's not effective.
Doesn't help
so,
situation.
Well, it's not effective, and complaining actually doesn't work. So, it doesn't really matter. I give them a run for their money. Now, the day after, I had a couple of people call me and ask me, you know, what's going on? You know, I see you on the ballot because I was still on the ballot. And I had a few people who wanted to endorse me, like big organizations. And I had to tell them the truth because I'm an honest person. And I said, look, you can't endorse me because even though you see it on the computer, I'm not on the ballot. So, you know, I have to tell you that. And it was very difficult. And these people were angry. And they said to me, they said, you know, they made a suggestion of that I should look into the Libertarian Party. And so when I looked into the Libertarian Party in my area, it's very strong, very sound. They're very sane. They're not, far right, far left. They're, you know, constitutional. They're for your liberties and freedom. And after a vigorous vetting, and they did vigorously vet me, it was a one-time on Zoom type of call, but it wasn't Zoom. And then two times in person, and they really grilled me, and they should. And they went ahead and nominated me to be their candidate, and I'm honored because I'm going to be on the ballot in November. I'm skipping the primary all total, and I'll be on the ballot. And
that may be a better thing for you. I think that's a better thing for you because now you can focus on the primary candidate, the real candidate, the one that you want to defeat in November, and not worry about going after other people in between. And because what happens when you start fighting amongst yourself, it gives the other candidate in November a weapon against you. You've damaged goods, but now you're straight up and going right into November, and that gives you all the weapons for November, which is really a good thing.
Yeah, and I'm very proud of the way I came through all of this because no matter what happens in this whole life, okay, this process has nearly made me white as snow because, you know, coming into this, I am a person of 60 years of age, so I have baggage, you know, from life. I have a big life. So I promised myself and the people that asked me to run, the number one thing I said is I'm going to be honest through and through, or otherwise I'm not going to do it. And this was very difficult. I was getting beat up from all sides. And, you know, it could have been easier to say, okay, I'll go to this cocktail party and, you know, these people will help me out. But basically that's how they buy you, okay, it's by inviting you to parties and stuff like that. And I chose to do the right thing because that's what's important and that's what we need. And it's only made me more popular. And I have peace of mind and I have a clear view. And the American people are hungry for the truth.
I know. And it's and that's something that's very important. They are tired of the corruptions that's around. They're tired of all the garbage that's see, there's a lot of things. Same thing that we got to ask every candidate. The deal is that once you get into D.C., once you win the election and you become a congressman or congresswoman, there's something called D.C.-itis. All of a sudden, everything that they ran on gets thrown out, and they become part of the swamp. And so that's the question that's got to be asked.
Well, I think that even the best of them fall for it because, you know, these people have been around for a long time, and there's many traps and many tricks. You have to watch everything that you're doing. And so a lot of these good candidates, I'll pick out Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's an outspoken candidate who exposed a lot and stood up to it, okay? She's got that, but what's happened now is it's made her ineffective. So she's become an ineffective congresswoman because she's having to fight with them all the time. I have no intention of letting them fight with me. But these are just one, you know, it's because of my age that I'll be an exceptional congresswoman because I'm 60 years old and I've been down the pike. So, like, I can see, you know, I worked in the thoroughbred racehorse business. I worked in professional horse racing. So I've seen just about every trick that comes down the pike. So, you know, these things are, they're subtle. All these different things that these different politicians do to you and this and that and the other, they're subtle. If they can't get you one way, they'll get you another way. If they can't get you this way, they can't get you that way. The best thing for someone to do, if you want to be effective and you want to really, I think the only way that we can actuate change is by it's going to have to be what I've got. It has to be true grit. We have to not play their game. We have to play the game of honesty and the Constitution. And we have to, it's hard. It's like being skinned alive. But the whole thing is you got to walk towards the fire.
And that's key, you know, as far as you brought up Marjorie Taylor Greene. Marjorie Taylor Greene is the left, I call the communists, the socialists. I don't call the Democrats anymore. They're communists and socialists.
Yeah.
You know, and the rhinos, they are so scared of her because she steps on toes that she's a gung-ho fighter, that they're trying to keep they follow a frivolous lawsuit to try to keep her or to get reelected. So she's just like you in a way. They're trying to keep America First candidates. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Matt Gaetz, which is a friend of mine. And here in Florida. And they want him too. And they're not going to. Yep. And he's one of those people, along with Governor DeSantis and others, and Trump.
Yeah, we got to stand up for these people.
They're standing up, and if you get in their way, they will run you down, and they'll take you out in a way that you'll never be seen because the American people are behind that. And they don't want the liars and the thugs and the frivolous and the phony people anymore. They want people that are going to stand up for the Constitution and protect people involved in that. And not be a handout or a hand down type person. We need people in office that's going to give people hand ups. Now they pick you up by the pull strings and take somebody that is in trouble and not run the opposite direction, but pick them up and help them as part of the Constitution because each one of us have something inside that can move them. And there are people out here very far or elsewhere. Won't do that. And it sounds like you're the type of person being what you say, you've been through it all, that will see that and stand there for the people that you represent.
I told my husband, I've told a few people this because, you know, what we've been through is pretty amazing story. I mean, from the threats, like, you know, the, all these threats and, you know, we've been followed and we've been, you know, people try to harass me, which that's hilarious. Like, really, when you try to harass me, all you're doing is asking yourself for trouble because I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say something. I'm not going to let you bully me. I don't care what you think about me. I know what I'm doing is right. I know what the right thing to do is, and I'm going to do it. And if I'm not sure that I'm doing the right thing, then I'm going to ask people that are wiser than me. Is this right or is this wrong? But
you know,
the thing is...
Go ahead.
But the thing is I'm concerned... And I don't think it's going to work because I think, like, I think the American spirit is, I think we are in for a revolution. Like, we've, like, you know, we saw the Trump revolution, but I think we're in for a different type of revolution. And I don't think it's going to work, but they are really, really, they do not want these midterms to happen. So we can look forward to, you know, there's going to be COVID, there's going to be this, there's going to be that. You know, I have a friend of mine. She's an ex-police officer. She's an ex-veteran. She was in the military for 21 years. She's a chaplain. She's a black woman. And they did the same damn thing to her. Now, I brought her with me into the Libertarian Party. But the thing is what... What me and her are the same, okay? Even though, like I like to mess with them, and I say I'm just some, you know, I said I expected it from I expected it because you all just think I'm some poor white trash from the wrong side of the track, you know? Because of my resume is not the same as my friend's resume, but it doesn't make a difference to them. She's got a stellar resume, and they did the exact same thing to her. And actually, she looked to me to help her get out of it because I got a little bit more street cred. You got to have some street fighter in you with this. These people are no good. These people are straight up bad deal.
Yeah, we need people that will stand with you and stand for the flag or for a principle and for the Constitution and not run the other way when things are getting tough. And that's the difference between someone who's a hero, who's a mensch in the Jewish religion, and a coward.
Yeah,
so,
well,
you know.
I told my best girlfriend, you know, because it gets pretty hairy around here. It got pretty hairy. I make no bones about that. I'm running against an ex-FBI agent. First of all, there's no such thing ever as an ex-FBI agent. No one's ever an ex-FBI agent. Once you're an FBI agent, you're already an FBI agent. So
you're never out of it, despite you can have people say,
right.
Well, he's not involved, or hasn't been involved in a while, or just known for doing things. But there's no such thing as being ex in law enforcement. You're always part of it in one way or the other.
Right.
You may not be physically
right.
with a shield, but you're a consultant, or you have connections,
right.
or you do something in that nature. You're always tied into it. And it doesn't matter
Absolutely.
If you're down here or up in Pennsylvania or anyplace else. So anyone they say ex-FBI, no such thing. You're right.
There is no such thing. Well, and the thing is that was like I had, you know, people had been asking me to run for over a year, or maybe not over a year, but just about a year. And I was, you know, laughing them off and, you know, sending them this way and that way. I said, look, I'm not the right candidate. I'm just too gruff and, you know, all this other stuff. And I, you know, I kept telling my husband, I said, look, I'll invite them over and tell them my life story. That'll scare them away. And they won't ask me anymore. Well, I told my life story, and they stood there with their mouth wide open and said, oh, my God, now we know that you're the right person because you're one of us, Caroline. You're just one of us. You're an American patriot, and you've got true grit. We need you. Please help us. We can depend on you because you can depend on me. And I thought about it, and so I checked these boxes. You know, what's it going to do to my life? What's it going to do to my husband's life? What's it going to do to me financially? It's going to ruin me financially, just about. And, you know, all this other stuff. What's it going to do to, you know, my neighborhood, you know? And then I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, Brian Fitzpatrick is an ex-FBI agent. Like, I could be in actual danger. And then I realized on that, when I had that thought that I was afraid of my congressman, was the moment I said I have to do this because I said to myself, oh, my God, I'm afraid of my congressman. I'm afraid of my government. I cannot think of a better reason than that to run for office. If I'm afraid of my government, this is a bad thing.
Okay, now we got, with that in mind, that's why you have the Second Amendment and the First Amendment. And in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, it says if you're unhappy with the government, you have the obligation to change the government in there. So,
well, we have the obligation through petition, you know, and, you know, all the, I plan on legally, ethically, and morally. And this is where I will win, because if anybody can win, it's because I have to stay 100% ethical, legal, and moral, because this way God will touch it. If I get in the dirt, then I won't have the one thing that I need the most, which is God's blessing.
Now, with that in mind, let's get some of the stances, the policies that you're in. There's big things going on tonight or late this afternoon. The fake president, I call him Biden or Brandon, he, as DOJ, filed a motion to try and overturn the Florida judge's banning of the mandates on planes and trains.
Mm-hmm.
What is your position on that?
My position on what I'm trying to overturn it, or my position on the mask?
On the mask itself and
well,
your position.
Well, that's
on,
your, you know, that's, in my opinion, that's your basic, most basic human rights offense, is to tell another human being what they can or cannot do with their own personal body. And this, and I think that it's desperate, and I think it's silly, and I think it looks silly, and it looks desperate. And I think that let them keep trying to make it come back, because somebody slipped up on the news today. It was like a liberal type person or something too. I think I was just walking by and heard it, and they said something like, "Well, you know, now that people got a taste of freedom," they just said the magic word. Now they got a taste of freedom, and that's what it is. Once they get the taste of freedom, they're not going to want to go backwards. So, you know, the silly old man that's sitting in the White House, he can keep trying whatever he wants. And all he's doing is increasing the resolve of the American people, because it's there. The American people are there. I believe that if we have just a few really good leaders, or people that are willing to sacrifice everything like myself, look, Donald Trump is sacrificing everything. These other people are sacrificing everything. Ron DeSantis, you think he gets a moment's peace? They don't get peace. Trust me, I'm just trying to run for Congress, and I don't get peace. But the thing is we just need a few of them.
You touch on something about individual rights to their own body. Do you support a right to life, or you support abortion?
I support the right to life. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-life. So, you know, I would rather, you know, I'm pro-life, and I don't like what's going on. I was around, because I'm 60 years old. I was around when Roe v. Wade passed. My mother was I'm from San Diego, California originally, so I come from a liberal area. I would have considered myself a liberal, because when I was growing up, this was our motto: don't trust big government, don't trust big pharma, and don't litter. Okay, so that was pretty much, you know, okay, well, there you go, you're you know, fairly liberal. But my mom, she was very liberal when I look back on it now, and I remember her being so excited about the Roe v. Wade thing. And you know, I was young, you know, at the time, and I didn't really get the grasp of what it was. And then growing up, you know, seeing the Planned Parenthoods, and I'm gonna leave that alone, because I don't need to be attacked by the Planned Parenthood, because I got enough I brought enough problems on myself as it is. But I'm pro-life, you know, and but that's a states' rights issue as well. So my job is going to be in a United States, you know, congresswoman, and if any legislation came my way, across my desk, first of all, it should be a states' rights issue. It should not be a federal issue. But if it came my way, I would vote according to my conscience.
Okay. The other thing is that another thing that's been happening of late, especially down here in Florida, but I think in Pennsylvania too, because I know in Jersey, they're indoctrinating and recruiting children in schools with CRT, critical race theory, and teaching kindergarten kids about sex and sexual orientation and everything else from first to K through 12. And a lot of states are now banning it in some way. We have parental rights law here in Florida. I know in Jersey, starting in September, they're going to teach little kids, kindergarten kids, about being gay, how to become gay, and indoctrination, recruitment, and sexual orientation. These are five, mm-hmm. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds. They have no mm-hmm. business learning about sex at that age. As a 60-year-old mother, mm-hmm. you must be outraged, I would assume.
Mm-hmm. Not a mother. Okay, I'm not a mother. So let's correct that. I'm not a mother. I'm a 60-year-old person. We don't have children. But see, this is intended. This is all intentional. So you know, we hear about what they're doing, and it's you know obviously outrageous. You know, but the thing is we almost missed the point because it's so outrageous that we miss the actual crux. And the thing is this is, it's like Maoism. It's like when you go to different, you know, I'm a world traveler. When you go to different countries and you see your other countries, you remember like back in the day with the killing fields and stuff. I don't remember, you know, if you're mm-hmm. old enough to remember back then, you know, Vietnam.
Killing fields
that, but,
Vietnam and Cambodia was killing fields. Was Cambodia mostly.
Yeah.
Khmer Rouge
right,
and all
right,
that
right.
stuff.
Right, right, right. Well, if you look and you see, if you take a real good look, is usually they put the children in charge because children, you know, are less likely to have because they haven't lived long enough to get an inherent thing of like that's hurting somebody or something like that. So this is how they, you know, in any communist country, they generally have, you know, it's their children, okay? And so that's where they're at in this country. Like we've come so far that now it's time, okay? Because this is a very young country, okay? So we've come so far with all these other things that now it's time to really work on the children. So they're working on the children in any way possible, and I call it identity theft. So, you know, you call it indoctrination. I call it identity theft. You know, they teach you to you know, disrespect your parents, and your parents don't know any better, and then, you know, they go after your basic, you know, your sexuality. You know, how tender is that? You know, that is your, like, the very most tender, you know. And if they can numb you to that kind of a thing, then they can numb you to other wrong, to things that are wrong. And if you look at any, you know, what about Greta Thunberg? Why did they pick this little young girl to be the big voice? You know, she came out and they didn't expect Donald Trump. So she was like a great weapon, you know, for them. You know, this is what they're normally used to. And when I say them, we're talking about your new world order. Now we can actually say it because now everybody else is saying it. But they use like Greta Thunberg because you can't fight back to a young child, because if you try to fight back to a young child, then you're a bad person and all this other stuff. But that didn't really work for effectively for them. So they had to come out and be exactly who they are, these, you know, oligarchs, these Bill Gates and, you know, these crazy psychomaniacs. That's what they are. So.
Yeah, you know, they're very upset that Elon Musk is buying Twitter they're trying to do everything, including kill the company to prevent Twitter from going free speech.
Yeah. They'll do anything. They've already taken our First Amendment away. Most people don't realize that. But our First Amendment, you know, I mean, you have it much better down there in Florida from what I understand. But still, you know, the basic of it's real fundamental, you know, the fact that you have to run around and defend it all the time means that you've lost it.
Yeah. And the thing is, Florida, yes, we are called a free state, but we still have portions of areas that need to be handled. We have a great governor that's handling the education stuff, and he's in the process to do the legal thing, but we still need to clean up a lot of mess here, especially in South Florida, because we have corruption in mm-hmm. the courts, we have corruption in attorneys, we got corruption and some of our politicians in Broward and Miami-Dade counties and parts of Palm Beach. But we are actually fighting back, and there are going to be some breaking news of a lot of judges, attorneys going to prison for a long time in the next few days. So
I'll believe it when I see it. You know,
yeah,
that's
what everybody's saying.
That's
what Scarlett's saying. But unless we stand up and start fighting and start doing what we need to do, like you, nothing's going to happen. So you guys, that's why we have a show called The Truth Is Out There, and we have podcast stuff to get the information out. That's why we have Gather. That's why the scared shitless little, excuse the language, of Elon Musk taking over Twitter, because they can't silence us. The Truth Social, things like that. Go ahead.
I think it's going to get, it's going to get a lot worse, unfortunately, before it gets better. I think that we are, when you are a person like myself and they are shutting you down and stopping you, why? Why? I'm just a housewife basically at this point in my life. You know what I mean? So what's the big deal? Why can't I be allowed? What are you worried about? This is the problem.
They're afraid of the facts coming out and turning over the rocks and seeing the snake underneath. And they're afraid that they swamp the New World Order all these kickbacks of corruption that's handed down by DC or in local politics or in the justice system or anywhere else. Once that light is shined on them, and everything gets scattered around and exposed, that's when they start doing things, and they can run away or they can do other things. But the bottom line, in the end, if we have enough people fighting for the truth, they all will get eliminated. And they're scared. The truth comes out, they are scared of it, and they run.
Well, what they do too, and, in all honesty, I'm going to an event tomorrow where Dr. Oz is going there. And actually, Dr. Carson is coming along with, and I'm a huge Dr. Carson fan, and I have been since the late 80s, 90s, when he separated the conjoined twins. I remember, I think I read a book about him early, because I used to like to read late at night when I got off work. I used to, take a shower on the weekend late at night and, sit in my chair, and I used to love to read books, and I had read a book about him, and I've been a fan ever since. So he's coming along with Dr. Oz, so my interest lies in Dr. Carson, really. But Dr. Oz is running for Senate and in this state of Pennsylvania. Why, I'm not sure, but I'm not going to be disrespectful, because I'm going to ask him why, I know somebody, because I've been friendly to people. I've treated people that have treated me well. I've treated them well. So I'm pretty welcome just about anywhere I go. I have no intention of being rude to him. I haven't picked myself a senator yet that I can get behind in Pennsylvania. So I'm actively looking. So I reached out to them, and they let me RSVP to this event, and I will go tomorrow with an open mind and, hopefully get my picture taken with Dr. Carson, because I care about that. But I'd like to see what Dr. Oz has to say. I think to myself when I hear Dr. Oz, I don't really think anything too terribly bad, except for, it is what it is. He's not really on somebody that I, watched and cared much for. But I've never hated him. There is a reason why Donald Trump endorsed him, and I don't know what it is. So I'm going to go find out.
I can tell you, the reason why Trump endorsed him is because of all the candidates that's running. And it's a big primary going on for Senate in Pennsylvania. And first of all, he knows Dr. Oz pretty well. But besides that, he feels that Dr. Oz has the best chance of winning the election in November and move in that direction. And since he was endorsed, he has now as of yesterday, I think, a double-digit lead in the primary. Unique about Dr. Oz and Carson, they're both extremely talented doctors.
Yes, we have another man that's running for governor that's a incredible heart surgeon. He does surgeries on children in the womb. He does heart surgeries on children in the womb. His name is Dr. Zama. He's running for governor, and I don't know why. I think the man is qualified to do anything on this planet he wanted to. I enjoyed the time that I spent with Dr. Zama. I think he's probably too good to be the governor, to tell you the truth. He's just been so brilliant. But so it's been, you know, this part of what I've been doing has been a true pleasure. I've met some really, you know, amazing people. But what? I want to, you know,
getting
I want to see.
I was going to say, going to these events actually helps boost your popularity and get to know people and also raise money for you. But the other thing is, see if you get to speak, even if it's 2 minutes at these rallies.
I'm sure. But they, you know, the thing is with someone like me, they don't want to give you any chance at all. Now, listen, this gal that, you know, is the coordinator for Dr. Oz here this part of the state. You know, I've met her before, and I was nice to her. So she knows who I am. So this is good news, you know. This is the good news, and I think I'll be allowed to ask a question or two, and I'll be grateful for that. I'm going to make them count.
There you go.
Because they're important. Yeah, no, I'm going to make them count. And, you know, right now I don't expect anything from anybody, because the only person that I would expect that might be willing to take a look at me, if they haven't already, would be Donald Trump himself.
I think he's going to do a rally in Pennsylvania again soon. I know this before the primary, he'll probably be there. I know he's doing at least one or two rallies a week now. So
yeah, I'm not in the primary, and I don't expect him to endorse anybody in this primary, not in my district, because the incumbent, who says he's a Republican, is not, okay? And he's taking our rights away every moment that he gets. And the candidate that's running against him in the primary is just almost laughable. I won't vote for either one of them. So, you know, it's the old you get what we give you here, okay? And that's what it is.
Good.
It's a stranglehold. Well, it is.
Yes.
We got to fight.
Yep. Let's go one more platform part. The Second Amendment, you support it, right?
Well, absolutely.
Are you in
that? 100%.
Are you an NRA supporter?
Well,
do you support?
I'm a card carrying NRA member. Now, I've enjoyed my Second Amendment rights since the 80s. So I didn't jump on the Second Amendment to gain political favor as many candidates do. And I can understand why, because, you know, people are very concerned about their Second Amendment rights. But I don't put a big spiel out with it, because I just straight up am. And when they ask me anything about it, it shall not be infringed. And there you go. Them are the apples. It shall not be infringed. I don't care what the magazine sell. I don't care what the, you know, barrel is. I don't, all these laws. I mean, if you ever ran for office, I don't know, but you get, you know,
yes,
all these information. So you really get schooled on exactly how many restrictions they've put on. And this is just outrageous, because it's almost gone. It's almost gone.
Yeah,
it's almost gone. It's almost gone, yeah.
The other thing
is border
security and national security and drugs and crime and your position.
Okay, well, my position is, as a world explorer and a world traveler, no self-respecting country would ever let somebody come and go as they please. All the countries I've ever been to in my whole life, even if I just went across the border and they didn't say anything about it for a few days, eventually someone would come up to me from that country and say, what are you doing here? And they'd want to know what I was up to. And they'd look through my bag and they'd question me as to why I'm here. Okay? So when I look at what I'm seeing right now, I will go even one step further for you. these people that are getting off the bus, I'm very unhappy with this Governor Abbott. Everybody thinks it's a great thing. Oh, he's just shipping them out, shipping them to Washington, D.C. Well, listen, I don't live that far from Washington, D.C. These people are going to be in my neighborhood very shortly if they're not already, and I don't mean in my actual neighborhood, in my area. So Governor Abbott, get your shit together and quit sending people to another state and think that that's cool, because I don't think it's cool, because you think Joe Biden's going to do something about it? No. But I am looking at these men getting on these buses and getting off these buses. And if you look at posture, these men's posture is very straight and very good. These people are fit. These are young men between the ages of, I would say, 18 and 32. They all look very fit to me. Their necks are straight. Their necks look fit. Their backs are straight. They look military to me. These do not look like refugees.
They do not look like refugees. No, they don't, and they never did. If they're that good looking, you know, physical wise, shape, they should be defending their country and not fighting coming into here. But they're most likely MS-13 or some other drug.
We don't know what they are. We don't know what they are, and that's the problem. We don't know what they are, and that's the problem. We could pontificate all we wanted about they could be this, they could be that. I know what I see. I grew up in a military family. I know how my father stood. I know how my brothers stood. I know how their posture was. I know how they walked, what their gait was like if you're a trained military person. I know what I've seen before. I don't know what these people – I don't know if they're MS-13. I don't know if this or that or the other. What I'm telling you is these are fit young men of fighting age. They are not refugees that are running from some, you know, threat somewhere.
I agree with you on that, and it's a dangerous position. We need to actually step transferring to another area. We need to just pick them up and send them back. First of all, we need to secure the borders. We need to finish the fence, the wall, and we need to rebuild the ICE, border patrols, and other things, the law enforcement, and actually do that. But you're not going to get that until we get rid of the guy in the White House, and you're not going to get that until we get rid of the rhinos and the comic cracks.
Right. We are in what they call a jackpot.
Right. But, again, we're running out of time. We're getting close to the end of the show. So can you tell our listeners where to find you and how to support your campaign?
I would love for them to support my campaign. You know, I've always been told that I don't do this enough. Donate. Please donate, donate, donate. I don't ask people for money. I forget. So that tells you right there I'm not a politician. But you can go to www.carolineforcongress, that's with an F-O-R, not a four, that's carolineforcongress.us, www.caroline, carolineforcongress.us, and that'll take you to my page. I'm finishing it up right now. It's very lovely. It's got a horse on there and then a picture of me on the left, and you can go down and see my issues, the reason why I changed my party, and then you can ask questions. You can donate, donate, donate. It says contribute. So, you know, if you can contribute, no amount is too small. I'm up here.
Where tomorrow is the rally being held that they can meet with you?
It's not a rally. It's a RSVP. It's a private event. But it's in Bristol.
Oh, okay.
It's in Bristol, PA. Yeah, so it's not a rally. It's at a banquet hall.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like at a banquet thing. So that's in Bristol,
okay.
And that's with So you know, but I look forward to going there and hearing what they have to say. You know, I have a couple of questions I'd like to ask. I haven't made up my mind about any senator yet. I'm doing my job.
How many people are coming to that banquet, you know?
How many people have what?
Going to the banquet.
Are coming to the banquet? You know, I was looking into that, and I'm going to say, I would say no more than 200, probably no more than 250, because I'm guessing, I know the place, it's not that far from me, so I'm guessing about how many people it can hold. you know, okay. how many people can hold. Maybe 250, I'm guessing.
Yeah, because I was going to suggest what we did when I was campaign manager for Nicholas Kamaz and it was in a congressional campaign in Miami. We did a Miami dinner thing. It was the Liquor Day dinner in Miami, and we had Nicholas and I were going table to table to introduce ourselves and talk to people and stuff. So I was going to suggest for you to do the same.
Yes. I was wondering if Brian Fitzpatrick will be there tomorrow. If he's not going to be there, then one of his henchmen will be there. And I'm used to his henchmen, and they're used to me. They're quite frustrated with me because I don't give them too much time of day. And I have all the goods on them, too. So usually it's either this one guy who steals turtle eggs, and now he's up to stealing other people's signs. So it'll either be him or Brian himself.
We have a law down. If you get caught stealing the signs, you're going to jail. If the candidate tells you to steal, the torture to steal the sign, the candidate gets disqualified and goes to jail too.
We have that law here, but they don't do anything about it because he is the law.
I want to tell you a little hint. We have over a million people across the country that are already able to do election integrity laws. We did that in Virginia. We're doing it in Florida. We're doing it in Georgia. And I'm sure we're there in Pennsylvania. And if he gets caught, he will get disqualified and he will go to prison. I don't care if he's an FBI agent or an ex-FBI agent or anything else.
Yeah.
If
he's not doing it. It's his henchman. They got him on video and it's ridiculous.
If he gets caught, his henchman gets caught, he's going to prison.
It's on video. They have it on evidence, yeah.
You should forward that to Joseph.
Okay, I can do that.
It'll be channeled to the proper people.
It's channeled up to the team in Pennsylvania. They will not only arrest the person that's involved on video, they will arrest, they will disqualify
take
the candidate.
Take him off the ballot and arrest him.
Take him off. That's the one way you take them off the ballot. It's called election integrity laws. I know it's in the state constitution of Pennsylvania. It's going to be taken care of.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, well, I can send you the video, you know. I'll look for it and send you the video.
Please do that.
I'll send it to your email link.
Okay, thank you. Please do that. I want to thank you for coming on the show. We only have a couple of minutes left. And I want to thank you very much for coming on. We are endorsing you for Congress in the CD1 in Pennsylvania. The truth is out there. It's on your side. Of course, like you said, the truth counts.
And it's not about the party. It's about the person.
Yep. November 8th, Caroline Avery for Congress, Pennsylvania, PA01.
There you go. And we support that and support you. I want to thank you for coming on the show. And have a great evening, okay?
It was my honor. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anytime. Bye-bye now.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We only have like 6 minutes left. She's great in a lot of ways. We could have kept on going if we had more time. Election integrity is very important, and we can't see them every which way. It's like she said, people, we got to get rid of the crumbs as far as fighting for it. People got to stand up for it and not run if they've got a challenge. So we'll take care of that. Meanwhile, on Sunday, we're going back to school boards, and we got a candidate running for school board down in Monroe County called
Alexandria Suarez.
Sandra Suarez. She actually is a return guest on a couple shows, and she is running for school board in this time here in the state of Florida and down in the Miami-Dade and Monroe County area. So we're going to be talking to her on Sunday. So we'd like to thank Caroline Avery, for coming on. We endorsed her for Pennsylvania CD1. I want to thank Scarlett for coming on. Do you have anything to say, Scarlett, about Caroline?
She's very strong. She got screwed.
Yeah.
They were so good at it, they screwed her.
when she went and she stopped going Republican,
she found a new road to walk it.
A libertarian. See, there's many different roles.
That's right. And I told you, it's not about the party. It's about the people, and she needs to get out there and campaign.
And that's the key.
They can even write her in. It didn't matter. Okay?
It didn't matter.
She just got to get out there and put her positions out there and let the people know the truth.
The key is, it's very important, it is the truth. It's fighting for it. Sometimes you got to go, you got to get rid of the bad apples and go into
Sometimes you take two steps backwards, but then again, you end up taking 50 steps forward.
Forward. And she did that, and we know a lot of other people are doing
that.
Right. People are standing up. And
again,
we also discussed our friend over in Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene. We lost her. And,
exactly.
Of course, Matt Gaetz, because these are Florida first, these are Georgia first, and with Caroline Avery, she is Pennsylvania first and America first candidates. These are Trumpers, and they care about the Constitution. That's what we support.
Exactly.
And we're going to do the same thing with school boards and everywhere else because we've got to fight for our children. And
this
that's
is Scarlett telling everybody, I'm going to be back on Sunday with a school board, and I'm ready to expose the truth and help that candidate win that seat.
And we
got everybody have a great week.
Children.
And God bless you. God bless America. And have a great night. Bye.
Bye now.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I'm today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the